You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Here, you'll find answers to your questions about the Christian faith, the Bible, and trends in the church today. At the Christian Research Institute, we do what we do because truth matters. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." Matthew 11, verses 2 through 6. It is one thing to say that the child born in Bethlehem was God incarnate. It is quite another to establish it beyond a reasonable doubt. To do so, we must demonstrate Jesus to be the sinless, supernatural Savior of humanity. Well, first, Christ is the only human who has ever demonstrated the credential of sinlessness. While the Quran exhorts Muhammad to seek forgiveness for his sins or faults, the Bible exonerates Messiah, saying, "Jesus had no sin." And this is no singular statement. John declares, "And in him is no sin." And Peter says Jesus committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. Jesus himself went so far as to challenge his antagonist, saying, "Can any of you prove me guilty of sin?" Furthermore, Jesus demonstrated supernatural authority over sickness, the forces of nature, fallen angels, and even death itself. Matthew 4 records that Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching, preaching, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Mark 4 documents Jesus rebuking the winds and the waves, saying, "Quiet, be still." In Luke 4, Jesus encounters a man possessed by an evil spirit and commands the demon to come out of him. And in John 4, Jesus tells the royal official whose son was close to death, "Your son will live." In fact, the four gospel writers all record that Jesus demonstrated ultimate power over death through the immutable fact of his resurrection. Finally, the credentials of Christ's deity are seen in the lives of countless men, women, and children. Each day, people of every tongue and tribe and nation experience the Christ of Christmas by repenting of their sins and receiving him as Lord and Savior of their lives. Thus, they not only come to know about Christ evidentially, but experientially, as Christ becomes more real to them than the very flesh upon their bones. What child is this? Well, none other than the sinless, supernatural Savior, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
Let's go right to the phone lines. First up is Sam, listening on Bot Radio in Kansas. Hi, Sam.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. Good talking to you.
Thank you. I'm getting kind of frustrated, I guess, because the only understanding I've really had was listening to a lot of them Word of Faith teachers, and I feel, one, lied to, and that I was ultimately sad that I've even encouraged anybody to watch it, the speaking in tongues and just all the other things that they do. But thankfully God, led me away from that. But ultimately I'm still frustrated in understanding, from the truth from what the lie, that I grew up with, really. What I feel is a lie. I bought your eschatology book, the Apocalypse Code, and so I'm kind of getting started in that yet. And I guess I just want to get a better grip of how to understand the Bible, how to go about reading it.
Well, you got the right book, because that is the intent of the book. The intent of the book is to teach you how to read the Bible for all it's worth. I've also done a little flip chart on that very subject as well that might be very helpful to you, which is available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute.
All right. I'm going to have to take a look at that. I'm constantly just staying up at night. It bothers me so much that, I can't sleep. I'll start reading the Bible and something will pop into my head and, I'll have to go look it up on the internet, and I don't know who to trust,
Why it's so important to discern between truth and error, between wheat and chaff and heat and light, and that takes discernment skills. That's what this ministry is all about, is to teach people how to do that, how to discern. This is a discernment ministry. So the tools that I'm talking about are available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We have a little flip chart that teaches people how to read the Bible for all it's worth, and I think the book, The Apocalypse Code, will help you in that endeavor as well.
Okay, just stay reading it then.
Yeah, and use the Bible as your guide. God has spoken. The Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. Of course, if that is true, if God has spoken, the attendant question becomes, what has God said? And that entails learning to read the Bible for all it's worth. And that is both an art and a science. It's a science in that certain rules apply. It is an art in that the more you apply the rules, the better you get at it. Good talking to you. Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you so much for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Bart. He's listening in Jacksonville, Florida. Hi, Bart.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, Hank. You and I have disagreed on, we haven't talked before, but God bless you. But as a brother in the Lord, I give you the right to disagree with me. And
as long as I do it agreeably.
I was going to even ask you, have you had different things develop in your understanding over time that say you believed 10 years ago that maybe in your research or in your study or even in your experience with the Holy Spirit, God has led you to maybe change a viewpoint?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I mean, I think that one of the things we have to humbly recognize as human beings that love Jesus Christ is that we are very limited. If I were to draw a circle on a blackboard, and if I were to then put a dot in that circle representing the extent of my knowledge, that dot would be very, very small. And I think that's the way we all have to recognize we are limited. Now, there are main and plain things of the Scripture that I would never waver on. They are the essentials for which the martyrs shed their blood. There are secondary issues that we can debate and discuss vigorously, and as a result of that, iron sharpens iron, and just as you learn, I will learn.
Amen. Well, my question was, and I've just come across this teaching in the last couple years, and I actually Wikipedia'd it to see what just maybe in the common man's understanding that the ministry of Jesus, the length of it. And surprisingly, it said 1 to 3 years. And in my study, I've seen some application of the one-year theory. And one of the I won't say the key texts, but there's a couple that I would look at. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus' message in the synagogue there in Nazareth, he preach that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And, you know, I know that can mean a time frame, but on a practical level, could it have been 1 year that the nation of Israel had to recognize their Messiah?
Well, no, I don't think. And again, I think this is one of the principles in the art and science of biblical interpretation. Jesus, along with the New Testament writers, continually point back to Old Testament verses, Old Testament passages, and therefore we want to read those Old Testament passages in context. And I think both the context of the Old Testament passage and the way in which Jesus Christ is using that passage is not to give a duration of the length of his ministry. I think that if you want to have some insight with respect to the duration of the ministry of Jesus Christ, perhaps the Gospel of John, which strongly suggests 3 years based on the times that he goes to Jerusalem. In other words,
well, there's one time, I want to say it's in chapter 6, 7, or 8, where it speaks of Passover, a feast of Jews' night, and you see Jesus in Capernaum not going up. And that would be breaking the law, and we know he was born in the fullness of time under the law, and he didn't break the law. That's why he could be the perfect sin offering that the law required. As a male Jew, he would have to go up to three festivals every year, Passover, Shavuot, which is Pentecost, and then Feast of Tabernacles. The others are optional. And you see him in Capernaum, and you also see the feeding of the 5,000 with barley loaves. There would have been no barley loaves in the land at that time. The Jews got all
the... Yeah, Bart, here's the bottom line here. I don't want to belabor this point, but the passage that you pointed to, I don't think gives you a chronology or gives you the time frame for Christ's ministry. I think there are other time indicators that do. But again, as you've pointed out at the in the prologue to the question, this is one of those issues that people can debate vigorously. But ultimately, we want to go to the historical and biblical evidence that gives us some kind of a radar fix on this. And to that extent, I commend you for your search for knowledge and for truth. When we go back to the phone lines, let's talk next to Jonathan in Miami, Florida. Hi, Jonathan.
Yes, I just want to say thank you. I appreciate your ministry, and you're a great man in the faith. And I've been studying the doctrine of perseverance of the saints. Earlier on in my Christian life, my pastor said, once saved, always saved, if truly saved. And I know back in the past that your parents are Calvinists and that you didn't really agree with it. So I just wanted to know if you could shed some light on that particular doctrine.
Well, I think Calvinism is a system, and therefore the notion of perseverance of the saints cannot be segmented from the system. It is a system that is congruent, and you have to embrace it as a whole. That is not to say that there are not other systems that hold to a similar idea. There are similar ideas, and that similar idea would be once saved, always saved, as you put it, if indeed you are truly saved. Now, I would say that I hold to that doctrine. I do hold that once saved, always saved is true, because the moment that you embrace Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have everlasting life. And the one who gives you everlasting life is the one who not only justifies you, but also the one who sanctifies you and one day will glorify you. Therefore, my contention has always been that the Lord's trees are evergreen on the basis of passages in which we see the praise of God for the confidence that we can have that he who began a good work in you will carry on that good work to the time of its completion.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, you got it. I've written about this in a book called The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You might still be able to get this in, but I can send you a personalized copy for your gift of $100 or more to a family member or a friend, someone that you want to give a meaningful gift to this Christmas, a way of equipping you, and a way of providing for a ministry that is reaching people for time and for eternity. Do remember, we do what we do because truth matters. We don't do it because it is popular. We don't do it because it is politically correct. We don't do it because it is good for business. We do it because truth matters. And we stand on that principle no matter what the cost, because we believe that ideas have consequences, and therefore it is crucial that we know that God created the universe, that Jesus Christ is God, and that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin, and therefore it is our guide for doctrine and practice. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
At the Christian Research Institute, we would like to say thank you to all of our faithful supporters who helped us erase our operational debt last year. Although our debt was eliminated, we still had to pull back our broadcasting reach due to economic realities. But as we near the end of 2011, our goal is to reclaim the land that was lost and press on into new territory as God provides opportunities. Imagine what we can do, how many people we can reach when every gift can contribute to more airtime, more broadcast, and more resources. To make this a reality, we need $500,000 by December 31st. Will you be a part of this exciting step forward with your gift today? Call CRI at 888-7000-274 or donate online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
In today's pop culture, Lady Gaga is an enigma that is hard to ignore. With her outrageous, ever-changing persona, what makes her obscene brand of art so popular? Mark Sayer's article, A World of Gaga, takes an unveiled look at this pop icon. Jerry Jarman contrasts the biblical model of forgiveness with that of popular psychology in his article, Forgiveness in the Bible and in Pop Psychology, Two Conflicting Views. Other topics include Arthur Hunt's Marshall McLuhan, What Were You Doing?, Coiner of the Global Village Turns 100, and Enlightenment Humanism, Our Savior from Violence by Angus Manouche, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
At the Christian Research Institute, we count every gift from God's people as a special blessing. To say thank you for your support, we'd like to send you Hank's newest book, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, to give you assurance in the reliability of God's Word. In Has God Spoken? Hank counters the contentions of Bible critics and shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures does not stem from wishful thinking. Rather, belief logically flows from an honest examination of the evidence. When you join the Bible Answer Man support team or give a gift of $100 or more, you'll receive a personalized edition of Has God Spoken? To donate, simply call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Once again, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone calls. Let's talk next to Brent, listening on KCIV in Turlock, California. Hi, Brent.
Mr. Hanegraaff, Merry Christmas.
Thank you. You too.
I talked to an old friend of mine, and I guess it's been a while, and in the interim they have gotten involved with this religious science, or they said the new name of it is United Center of Spiritual Living. And I don't know anything about it, but it kind of raised some red flags. And
yeah, it should. I mean, this is a very dangerous form of a mind science cult, which teaches that man and God are essentially one essence. It teaches that the essence of all belief systems or structures are the same. It teaches that every man is an incarnation of God, and not only so, but that we are divine, ontologically divine. It also does not differentiate between Jesus and other people, believing that Jesus himself did not consider himself different from other people. Whereas in reality, Jesus Christ, in biblical vernacular, came into time and space, and when he did, he voluntarily took on the limitations of humanity without divesting himself of a single attribute of deity. So the mind science cults pervert essential Christian doctrine at its very root and core, and as such are very dangerous. Now, obviously, it's important to understand the deviations because you can use them as springboards or opportunities for sharing the truth and life and grace that only comes through Jesus Christ.
Okay, do you have any information on that that I can, you know?
Yeah, just go to our website at equip.org. That would be helpful also in the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. You can get some information. As well, I've written about this in principle in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, which deals with New Thought metaphysics and a lot of the mind science ideas in the beginning of the book.
That's Christianity in Crisis?
21st Century.
Okay, Christianity in Crisis. Do you deal with the United Center for Spiritual Living in particular?
Well, I deal with it in principle. If you want the particulars, hang on. We can help you off air.
Because they've kind of become a minister in this thing. So they're in it kind of deep.
Yeah, and completely incompatible with Orthodox Christianity.
Okay, Christianity in Crisis,
21st century. Yeah, I mean, that's not the essence of the book, but it deals with it in part with the mind science cults. But I think if you want specific information, hang on. You can get it on the web, or we can give it to you if you hang on right now.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you for your call, Brent. Want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Daniel, listening in Oklahoma. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, how are you, Hank?
I'm well, thank you. Good talking to you.
Thank you. Hey, I've wondered for a really long time, and I don't really know how to go about studying and finding out or really researching myself how to figure out what my spiritual gift is. And, you know, fruit of the Spirit that you know, I think each of us as Christians has. So how would I really go about finding that out so I can accept it and do it on purpose, you know?
Yeah, I think it's important to figure out what your spiritual gift is, and you do that over time. I mean, as you spend time in the Word of God and in prayer and in the spiritual disciplines, you will discover that you have a gift. And in various places in the Scripture, those gifts are actually delineated, like in Romans chapter 12. There's the gift of prophesying, not in the sense of foretelling the future, but in the sense of forthtelling, edifying, and equipping the body of Christ by being able to expand and expound on the teachings of Scripture. There's also the gift of encouragement. There's the gift of teaching, the gift of serving, the gift of leadership, the gift of service, the gift of mercy. So there are different gifts that are delineated. As you practice the Christian life, you find those gifts by actually exercising your gift in dealing not only with unbelievers, but dealing with the body of Christ within the context of a healthy, well-balanced church. So it's a matter of exercising spiritual disciplines that lead you to your spiritual gift.
Okay. What would you recommend that I do, you know, to... Because like I say, I want to do it on purpose. I want to, you know, embrace it.
And, yeah, well, here's what you do.
Who God wants me to be.
Here's what you do. I mean, it always gets back, and a lot of people are looking for exotic answers, but it gets back to basics. It means that you get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you. That is a key doorway to discovering and developing your spiritual gift. Secondly, it means that you understand what true prayer is, not a means of extracting things from a capricious God, but rather a means by which you can build a relationship with the lover of your soul. So as you meditate on the Word of God, you find the missing link between the intake of Scripture and an effective prayer life. Thirdly, it means that you need to get engrossed and enveloped in effective church life as a reproducing disciple maker. So it means you have to find a healthy, well-balanced church and then become involved in that church. And as you do, you will discover your spiritual gift in a very pragmatic way. As you interact with others within the context of the body, you're going to find out that some of us are a nose and some of us are an eye and another is a foot, that we all have different gifts according to the grace given us. And we discover those gifts through interaction within the fellowship of saints. And then it means also that you go out and you involve yourself in discipleship, whereby you learn how to communicate what you believe and why you believe and who you believe. Now, you may find in that process that you are a gifted evangelist. You may also find that you're not necessarily gifted at evangelism. That, of course, does not mean that you shouldn't be involved in the practice of evangelism. Same thing with giving. In Romans chapter 12, there's a gift of giving, but you can't say, well, Lord, I do not have that gift. I don't have the gift of giving, so pastor, don't count on me for giving any money to the church this year. I just don't have that gift. The fact that you don't have that gift does not mean that it is not a responsibility. But you also do discover that you have various gifts, but it is within the context of the fellowship of the saints as well as through prayer and through meditation on the Word of God.
Okay. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate it.
You got it. The answer, again, is getting back to basics. We'll go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Mike listening in Missouri. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, I had a question about an author. My wife and I was in church, and we had a guest speaker preacher come in, and my wife had asked him a couple questions, and just based on things that I've been seeing and our current pastor plus him have seen, he believes that she has the gift of intercessory prayer. So he recommended we get some books and help her, you know, further that gift by reading and stuff, but he didn't recommend any authors. And so I got on the internet, tried to find some authors out, and I came across a book by a guy named Dutch Sheet called Intercessory Prayer, and it seemed like it was a pretty good seller, and I had several good reviews about it, and I got the book, and I started to read it before her, and I made it about 20 pages into it, and I just felt this like kind of like a check in my spirit, and I started questioning whether or not he's a very valid guy to be studying on. So I got on the internet, looked around a little more, and I found that he seems to be linked with a group, a new apostolic revivalists or revolutionists or something, and they seem to be some pretty bad people from what I read about them. But I couldn't find any definitive information on him teaching and doing exactly all the things that they're being considered quote-unquote false prophet stuff, just that he seems to be affiliated with them. So can you tell me, do you know about that book and this particular gentleman?
Well, I haven't read that particular book, but I do know about Dutch Sheets. And he is a classic Word of Faith teacher, and I don't recommend him, not only because of his affiliation and teaching commensurate with Word of Faith doctrine, but also because of his counterfeit revivalist activities. In principle, I've written about both those things in a book called Counterfeit Revival and a book called Christianity Crisis, 21st Century. So again, okay. He is not a minister or ministry that I would recommend. I would say this, I've written a book on prayer that I think could be extraordinarily helpful. It's called The Prayer of Jesus, and it is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. It has a study guide in it as well. Again, The Prayer of Jesus is a book that I wrote around the year 2000. I think it's extraordinarily helpful in teaching people the meaning of prayer as well as the model prayer as demonstrated by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Okay. So that would kind of help her further her understanding of the intercessory prayer?
Absolutely, it would, yes.
Okay. Can I ask another quick question, too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you happen to know a real good, like, current book on apologetics, or have you written one to help against, like, I have a stepdad that's an atheist, and he sometimes comes to me with questions, and so far I've actually felt like God's led me pretty well to answer his questions. And we've had a discussion all the way up to the point of creation where I could not prove to him that God exists. And I have heard what you've said before about him being the first source of creation without a source or something. And I tried to talk with him about it, and it just got to a point where it wasn't going anywhere. And I was wondering if you might have a book that I could read on that also as well.
I do. It's called The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution. There's also a shorter version of the book called Fatal Flaws.
And that deals with Fatal Flaws, and then what was the other one? Face of
The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution.
Farce of Evolution. Okay.
Yeah. And I think that book would be extraordinarily helpful for you, because what it does is it breaks this whole issue, the issue of origins, into bite-sized, easily memorable chunks, so you understand what the consequences are of philosophical naturalism and the evolutionary paradigm, and then you understand why evolution simply does not stand in an age of scientific enlightenment, and it shows that creation does stand on the basis of the evidence, and it gives you not only the consequences for believing the wrong thing, but the pragmatic and practical ways in which you can communicate and relate those things which stand up in the arena of ideas when it comes to the issue of origins.
Okay, thank you.
You got it. And my book, The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI, you can find all these resources on the World Wide Web at equip.org, a great place to do your Christmas shopping. We'll rush the book or the books or the materials you're looking for out to you right away.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
You've just heard Hank Hanegraaff's dramatic reading from the Heart of Christmas audiobook, a 2-CD devotional for the season. order the audiobook or the beautifully presented The Heart of Christmas gift book by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. Don't touch that dial. Hank will return right after this. At the Christian Research Institute, we would like to say thank you to all of our faithful supporters who helped us erase our operational debt last year. Although our debt was eliminated, we still had to pull back our broadcasting reach due to economic realities. But as we near the end of 2011, our goal is to reclaim the land that was lost and press on into new areas of ministry as God provides opportunities. Together, we stand on the verge of taking the truths of God's Word to more people than ever before. But to make this a reality, we need $500,000 by December 31st. Every gift matters, so please be a part of this exciting step forward with your gift today. Call CRI at 888-7000-274 or donate online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. A year ago at this time, CRI was submerged in an ocean of operational debt that forced us to pull back on some of our broadcasting stations, losing our ability to reach thousands of people with the truth. But God miraculously answered our prayers, completely erasing the anchor of debt through generous friends like you. Now, we're asking you to help us take the second vitally important step of reclaiming the land. Will you be a part of a veritable army of thousands that cumulatively can provide $500,000 by December 31st to reestablish our ministry on those stations? Please give as the Lord leads you so we can not only reclaim stations we had to abandon, but go on to new stations touching thousands who have never heard the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Donate by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And right back to your questions. Next up is Noah, listening on XM170 in Worcester, Massachusetts. Hi, Noah.
Hi, brother. May the Lord bless your work.
Thank
and
you.
Your patience. I just called regarding a book that I was reading recently that was given to me like 2 years ago, and I finally decided to read the book, which is the author is Kenneth C. Davis, a historian and I want to know if you're familiar with the book, which is so controversial, and it has so much information that I think is so negative for believers.
Well, it is, because he's theologically liberal, and he takes a secular approach to the Bible, very much like Bart Ehrman does. Bart Ehrman has become very popular by the same kind of books and reasoning, which I codify as fundamentalism from the left. And as a result of that, he misreads the Bible and makes all kinds of assertions which are ridiculous, quite frankly. They're not historically or biblically plausible. So Davis, for example, argues that Jesus said he came from Nazareth, therefore he wasn't born in Bethlehem, and that there's no valid historical reason for his parents to be in Bethlehem. Therefore, he couldn't be the Messiah, because Jewish scripture said the Messiah that was to lead Israel would come from Bethlehem. Well, it sounds like a good argument, unless you've ever read the Bible. If you've read the Bible in context, you know that Bethlehem was prophesied in the Old Testament, books like Micah, and then clearly enunciated in Matthew. Not only that, the reason, the historical reason for his parents to be in Bethlehem is given by Dr. Luke. He said that Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So it does give the historical basis for why Joseph and Mary happened to be in Bethlehem when Jesus Christ was born, in fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. So he makes what I would call dogmatic assertions without defensible arguments, and that's kind of how the liberal fundamentalists work. They only accept philosophical naturalism, which is to say they're closed-minded. They never open their mind to the possibility that there are both supernatural as well as natural explanations for what we encounter in the universe. Therefore, they have to, at the very start, rule out a virgin birth. They have to rule out prophecy. Reason is because they, again, only allow for natural explanations. They rule out supernatural explanations a priori, prior to examination.
I brought this knowing that you have so many listeners that I really wanted to bring this up so people can hear all this, because he presents so many errors on the chronological sequences and dates, location, findings, and the credibility of the word written by the disciples and different gospels. And it was pretty disturbing to me. I'm an avid reader of the Bible, and I studied the Word of God. And it really got me into a point where I was there standing and looking side to side.
A book that demonstrates that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. Has God spoken? And I deal with all their arguments with respect to the manuscript evidence. They say very classically that there are more mistakes in the manuscripts than there are words in the New Testament. And that's a way of undermining the biblical text. But what they don't tell you is that the differences are differences of spelling and style, not differences of substance. That's number one. They also don't tell you that through the science of textual criticism, it is very easy to ferret out the mistakes and to get back to the autographa. So what they're making a mountain out of a molehill. Also, from an archaeological perspective, they make all kinds of bizarre statements. Statements such as, well, David was really non-existent, or if he did exist, he was a petty hilltop chieftain. He was not a mighty monarch, and these kinds of things. Now, again, they're dogmatic assertions without defensible arguments, but I deal with all of this in that book. I demonstrate that with virtually every turn of the archaeologist's spade, the evidence has accumulated to such an extent that it is now hard to deny that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin, unless you have a bias in that direction. In other words, unless you're a person that says, don't confuse me with the facts. Then I also go through predictive prophecy, and I demonstrate that the Bible, in terms of its prophetic prowess, can never be pawned off to good luck or good guessing or deliberate deceit or even common sense. For example, Daniel is able to give a succession of nations from Babylon to Antiochus IV Epiphanes, who was the Syrian, Greco-Syrian beast that ultimately was overwhelmed by Judas Maccabeus, which was very unlikely. So Daniel's writing in the 6th century is able to say with great precision what's happening in the 2nd century before Christ. And the anti-supernaturalist looks at this and says, look, this is so like history that Daniel had to be writing after the fact rather than prophesying beforehand. But I give all the evidence why that can't be true and why you have to, again, be closed-minded to believe such a thing. So I go through this book and I give all of the evidence that the Bible is in fact divine as opposed to merely human in origin, and I counter these theologically liberal fundamentalists from the left that are trying to undermine the Bible.
That's great. I hope all listeners put attention, and this is a very disturbing book. It shouldn't be out there. I appreciate your time. God bless your work. You're a great man of God. I appreciate it.
Appreciate your call, Noah. Appreciate your kind compliments as well. All of us need to be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect. One of the books that might help you read the Bible for all it's worth is Lights on Your Path to Reading the Bible for All It's Worth. It's a little flip chart. It's 4x6. You can put it in your pocket or purse, but it gives you the principles of the art and science of biblical interpretation. And again, it is available to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. And this little booklet, in and of itself, would keep a lot of fundamentalists from the left from dispensing with the Bible, because oftentimes they dispense with the Bible because they don't know how to read the Bible for all it's worth. Bart Ehrman, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, he says that Jesus Christ was a false apocalyptic prophet. But again, the reason he says that is because he doesn't know how to read the Bible for all it's worth. If you look at his argumentation, it's quite sad. Especially for someone who is a professed expert in religious studies. Again, you will not fall into that trap if you get this little flip chart, Lights on Your Path to Reading the Bible for All It's Worth. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Brian, listening on the web in Huntsville, Alabama. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Hank. God bless you and the ministry of CRI. It's been a great blessing to my family. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey, I just attended a small group setting, and they I'm new to this church, and they started using something called the Story Formed Way, based off a church in Soma Communities Church. And I was just curious, they basically, if you brought a Bible to the small group, you have to put the Bible on the table, and nobody can open a Bible during the small group. And the gospel is presented in sort of a in a story way. And I guess the basis for this was to give people who are unchurched or unbelievers, who basically have no basis of understanding of the Bible or what the Bible is, a way of understanding it in simpler terms. Now, as someone who's listened to CRI and listened to the Bible Answer Man for almost 20 years, this was very disturbing. So they said afterwards, you know, you can ask questions, you could reference the Bible afterwards, but not during the small group. So it seemed to be sort of distilling down the Bible to chunks that people could understand. But I was of the mind that, you know, we should really be reading the Bible. So just want to know your thoughts, if you'd heard of this story formed way thing, and what your thoughts are.
You know, I have to confess I have not, so I can't comment on the essence of what they're attempting to do, but your characterization certainly gives me cause for red flags, just as you have communicated. I mean, the last thing we want to do is get away from the Word of God. Whether you are someone who is a baby in the faith or someone who is mature in the faith, the Word of God is life-giving. And the Word of God is so simple that a child can understand it, while being so complex that a theologian can drown in it. So I remember reading the book of John at one level many, many years ago, and today reading it at a completely different level because I've grown in my ability to understand the Bible for all it's worth. But certainly as a new believer, I would never say that the book of John had little meaning for me. It had great meaning for me. That meaning has only intensified over time. And I would say also that the biggest problem from my perspective in the evangelical Christian world today is biblical illiteracy. I don't call it a problem, I call it the problem. So the last thing I want is for people to get away from the Word of God. I want people to get into the Word of God, and that's precisely why I've developed resources that teach them how to read the Bible for all it's worth.
Sure, sure. Well, I'll stick it out for a while and maybe change from within, or maybe I can glean their deeper purpose here. But as somebody who's grounded, as I've been through your ministry, I always have my watchful eye out, and I appreciate everything CRI has done. God bless you, Hank. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your encouragement. It is deeply appreciated, and we want to thank all of you for joining us on this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your question on air. You can simply call 888-ASK-HANK to get that question on air. And our resources are always available on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or when you write us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Our resource consultants is always standing by at 888-7000-CRI. And don't forget the Christian Research Journal. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. It's an award-winning magazine, and it is a publication that no Christian home should be without. It is excellent not only in terms of its presentation, but also in the excellence of its copy. It is well-researched. It is information that you can rely on. It edifies, equips, exhorts, and encourages you as you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian Research Journal, available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. It's an award-winning magazine. Order online at equip.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
It is no surprise that in a 2002 survey, 74% of Americans rejected the teaching of original sin. But sadly, the survey also revealed that only 52% of evangelicals hold to the doctrine of original sin. Denying or misunderstanding this fundamental doctrine not only distorts our understanding of reality, it has grave implications for other Christian doctrines. A biblical view of human sinfulness, however, justifies God's judgment, demonstrates God's patience, and magnifies the significance of Christ's sacrifice. In the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, Clay Jones tackles this sobering doctrine in his article, Original Sin, Its Importance and Fairness. Subscribe to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. At the Christian Research Institute, we would like to say thank you to all of our faithful supporters who helped us erase our operational debt last year. Although our debt was eliminated, we still had to pull back our broadcasting reach due to economic realities. But as we near the end of 2011, our goal is to reclaim the land that was lost and press on into new areas of ministry as God provides opportunities. Together, we stand on the verge of taking the truths of God's Word to more people than ever before.
But to make this a reality, we need $500,000 by December 31st. Every gift matters, so please be a part of this exciting step forward with your gift today. Call CRI at 888-7000-274 or donate online at equip.org. That's equip.org.